Hey everybody, welcome to this week's episode of Making Sense of It All with Jesse Sticks. So HR services play a crucial role in managing employees and ensuring a smooth workplace environment. There's a couple of key aspects to HR services: recruiting and onboarding talent, employee benefits and managing those benefits, training and developing the people that you bring into your organization, performance management, employee relations and how things are going, how do you handle conflicts and address grievances and foster positive relationships among your employees, making sure that you handle compliance and legal matters correctly, and then also when people are going to leave your organization or you're exiting somebody, making sure that your offboarding or your exit process is properly in place and that HR manages the exit process, including paperwork, final paychecks, and the exit interviews in the correct manner. Well, my guest this week is Stephen Murray. He's the founder and the lead human resource consultant for Grow Fast HR Solutions. When people talk about small business, large business, or anywhere in between, it's usually a kind of a relative term because it always is based in what someone believes it means. Well, Stephen handles businesses that are commonly called middle market businesses and above. He'll define what that means for us during our conversation. But for now, let's get on with it. I hope you enjoy my conversation with Stephen Murray. Let's jump into it. So for my audience out there, can you tell my audience what Grow Fast HR Solutions does as a company?
Sure. We're a consulting group that helps organizations focus on their human capital as a strategic approach to grow their business and remain competitive in the marketplace.
So in the simplest of terms, a lot of my audience is going to understand what you said. Some of them are not. Some of them, you know, it's going to be one of those things it's a foreign language to them. So in layman's terms, what does it mean to the bulk of my audience? What should that mean to them?
Sure. So quite simply, it means that organizations, really no matter what size right now, are facing so much complexity with their talent. So it's either recruiting the right talent or developing them, retention. And so what we do is work with them to try to create solutions that will help them remain competitive in the marketplace.
I know that is an absolutely tremendous challenge that everybody is facing, and it's been some years now. Have you seen a dramatic shift in the way that people are attracting and retaining talent? And even, you know, I guess my question is, what has changed in the last 3 years as far as how are people attracting and retaining talent today?
Yeah, so, you know, it goes back to COVID again. And so you had a remote workforce and you had, you know, kind of a great resignation, right? And then they had to turn around and do quite a bit of hiring. So it's very difficult to find those skills again. And, you know, depending on the workforce, you know, some are going back to skilled trade schools, some are going back to universities and recruiting off of campus, and some are getting very creative, like paying for tuition back, offering any incentives to stay 1, 2, 3 years and build their skills. So a lot of creativity to try to recruit people.
Necessity is the mother of invention.
Right. And you'll find a way to adapt and survive because you have to run your business.
So, but you know, again, before we jump into everything, I want to step back. I'd love to know a little bit more about yourself, about Stephen Murray. How in the world did you end up in HR services?
Yeah, so I'm a little bit of an enigma in HR. I had an executive team one time refer to me as, hey, you're a business person who just happens to be good in HR.
Okay.
And it's because I have a big business background and interest. And of course, where does that come from? You go all the way back to my bartending days. And that was one of my first jobs. And I really loved it. I love the pace of it, the customers of it, the people I worked with, and I love the business piece of it. And so as I continued my career, I was like, what, you know, it doesn't really fit anywhere nicely as you, you know, mature your career. And so what I did find finally is Michigan State had a labor industrial relations and HR program. And that kind of fit. It had a lot of law, had the HR piece. So I completed that. And it started a 25-year career in basically Fortune companies. And that started off from, you know, a heavy manufacturing to a couple of beverage to a elevator to a robotic and AI company. And so I've seen a lot of different industries.
No doubt.
Pivoted around a lot of different size groups and covered small little, you know, 200 size groups to big regions to US and Canada. So it was really, I just have a driving, you know, interest in innovation and continuing to really chase my, you know, passion of bringing. I mean, you spend 70% of your life at work. So I just find it interesting that what do you do? How's that molded? What changes? So that's a little bit about how I got.
Yeah. Don't, when you say 70% of our life is spent at work, don't remind me of that. I think when people hear that, it makes them run for the hills. You know, it's funny you brought up being a bartender, because I think everybody loves their bartender. Everyone's best friend is their bartender. But in my experience, the bar and HR don't necessarily go together for the most part. Most of the time, HR problems will start in the bar.
Well, I've never really considered myself HR. It's always been a hard fit, hard shoe to get into. And true, there's a lot of, you know, patrons who get a little out of hand. I grew up in Atlanta, and I think one of my stories was one of my customers was Joe Torre. Now, he was, you know, managing the Atlanta Braves much earlier than when I started my bartending, but he kind of remained alumni. He kept coming there quite a bit. So it was, you know, a lot of fun to get to know him and his background. And so I almost went into baseball, but stayed a little bit more on the HR side. And so it's just been an interesting ride.
No doubt.
Yeah.
So now with Grow Fast HR, what is the market that you guys are serving? What are the types of clients that you're looking to get in front of, and who are you looking to help?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, I'll back up a little bit about how we got into this position. And what interested us is, you know, there's 350,000 organizations, businesses in the middle market. And you take that down, there's 40 million employees. So, wow, it's growing. There's a, you know, rich group of employees there. But then we got to the failure rate. And that really hit us with the sobering thought that, you know, 50% of those organizations, you know, in the first 5 years are going to fail, and 70% in the first 10 years. And that's pretty sobering. That's when we went back and looked at what
really is
going on there. And so that interested us. And so
what was the answer? What was the answer that you guys came to? Was there a consensus as far as why you feel like those businesses had failed at such an alarmingly high rate?
Oh, man, there are so many variables. Right. It's
sure.
Is your product selling? Is there a market for your product, and, you know, economic? And but as far as the human capital piece, it goes back to really two things. One, you know, you have a passion to grow your business, and that is really what drives us. Someone's taking a risk, taking their money to grow their business. And they're not really thinking what it's going to take to switch from, you know, the small group they are. They continue to grow. And then all of a sudden, do they have the right people? Can they recruit the right people? And so they kind of run into that that issue. And then just looking at, you know, 3 or 5 to 10 year and kind of an exit plan. And all of a sudden, they don't have a workforce planning. They haven't thought about that. And so you can quickly outgrow your organization And that's usually what you see happens. They grow so fast that they're just, their culture, their skills
Right.
are not keeping up with it.
Well, in today's world too, everyone is looking to get where they're going as fast as possible. Where I think a lot of the times, when you look at 25, 30 years ago, people accepted that there was a path to their career and they were willing to kind of, jump on that escalator up and not try to continue up the stairs. Whereas in today's world, I think people jump on the escalator and they're looking to, sprint, jump, cross over, do whatever they need to do to get where their goal is, because their goal is far more important to them than a goal of a company in a lot of ways. So I got to imagine from this huge cultural shift that we've had within the workforce in the last, couple of decades, that it absolutely changes what you do today versus what you did 20, 25 years ago.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, you have I see it as the generational, right? Baby boomers had a different approach and they're starting to retire in numbers. I kind of fit between that and millennials and Gen Z. And so, my approach has been, you stay steady, you work hard, you kind of keep with the same company, but move around. And now you have a whole generation that knows nothing but electronics. Computers, technology, that's what they grew up on. Instant gratification. So, if they don't get it right, and then they expect, from a company, as a customer, I want it right then and there. I'm not going to wait. I want a path to my career to grow. And if you're not, doing that from day one and I don't see it, then, I swipe to the left or swipe to the right, and there's a new person I can get a job with.
No doubt. No
Yeah,
doubt. I mean, a
that's
perfect
interesting.
example, I think, is college football in today's world. I mean, we watched what happened, in the last several years in college football, and coaches don't know what the team is going to look like year to year because now the kids can, they move. And I'm not saying that they shouldn't be allowed to, but it is very different than what it used to look like. So it's all things that you have to adapt and change to. So you mentioned that you're servicing middle markets, or that's who you're, those are the customers that you're looking to be in front of. That's a term that, again, some people are going to understand, and then other people are going to just, it's going to create a question mark for them. Can you define what middle markets means to the audience?
Yeah, it depends on who you're asking, whether it's what financial institution. But on basically for us, starts around 100 employees up to 500, say, so $10 million up to, up to the hundreds of millions. And for us, it's more or less the because the revenue is based off of whatever widget you're selling.
Sure.
For us, it's the number of employees because you get to about 100 and you start to hit some breaking points. That's where maybe you had an HR group that was homegrown and now you're starting to say, hey, I need some specialties in a couple areas. And maybe they already have an HR department, but they don't go deep in one area. And our passion is getting deep into that talent management area. And I've managed quite a few HR teams and help them develop. And so about that 100, 150 is when the owner needs to start to decide, am I going to grow that talent internally or am I going to go externally to some specialties? And we hope we fill that gap of bringing them the right talent, developing that form.
No doubt. All right, Stephen, I'm going to put you on the spot because people like stories, and so do I. So can you tell us, just give us an example of a company that's, roughly about that size where, where they implemented your services, and it's been something like, just how did it help them? How did it help them be more successful as a company?
Yeah, so one of my favorite is most recent. I worked for it was a company based out of Europe, out of Britain, but we scaled up in the U.S. So I was hired to scale up U.S. and Canada, and it was a robotic AI company.
Okay.
And so you're scaling up from the base, but then the inorganic. We did two acquisitions of robotic arms, and I'd never been into that. And outside of the typical acquisition, kind of fun you do looking at, leaders on both sides and cultures, was the actual product. So a lot of the employees were up in Toronto. Went up there, there's you know, big as kind of like it's one of those facilities where there's, you know, open space, there's a nice kitchen, there's Papa Shop, there's all that, which I hadn't been used to. So that was kind of fun. But then really one of the engineers took me to the back room, right, to really show me something that they've been working on. And there's this huge robotic arm that was surrounded by a lot of different boxes. And okay. They had all different type of products in there. They had like a soup can that was, you know, heavy. It had like a chips with a paper bag. And so as the arm put together an order, it had to think through the weight of that bag, what product should go on the bottom and the top. And it also had to think about how hard to squeeze it. So it goes down and it squeezes the soup can a little bit tighter, puts it in first, because that's where your products are going to go. And then it
goes
over to the chip bag, which can pop very easily. And it uses a much lighter touch to pick that up and put it on the top of the, you know, grocery bag. And I mean, for me, sorry for the words, that was cool. I mean, and
absolutely
learning as it went along, which may seem, you know, I guess scary to some, but to me, I'm like, you know, it's really advancing how we can, you know, compete in the marketplace and where we're going. But for a robot to, you know, tell the difference in those products was just kind of took me aback. And
No doubt. Well, and it's, it's AI and automation have come up with so many of my guests and talking about different industries, different organizations. You know, when it comes to HR services and we start talking about things like artificial intelligence and, you know, augmentation of, you know, of what people can do, do you see this as, you know, increasing the demand for specialized HR services? Or do you think that there's going to be such a shift away from human capital that there's going to be less of a demand? Which direction do you think it's going to go?
I think the demand will just be different. It'll still be okay. There. So it's quickly changing. There's many things about HR that had already been AI, and they're just bringing attention to it now, like applicant tracking systems and such. It'll continue to change the administrative piece. So the demand will be from CEOs, from business owners, hey, we want more of that strategic piece. What are you doing to help our company compete with that different technology? Because if they're not, you know, exploring how to use that technology, certainly their employees and customers are doing it very quickly.
No doubt. So
they're going to want to know, you know, take a look at the market. What can we put in? So I think it's going to be, that's where HR will be a little bit more specialized. And that's how I see that, how it changes.
Do you think that there's going to be a lot of unintended consequences or a lot of things where, you know, I always say, I don't know what I don't know. And so, you know, as these new technologies or these new processes start to be implemented by companies, there's going to be an unintended consequences, and there's going to be that time period where there's a lot of things come up for the first time. So, you know, where we always talk about, I always feel like when we talk about HR services or when I talk about employee policies or anything like that, a lot of it is stuff that is longstanding, or you're changing an existing policy, or you're changing an existing way that you do things. But a lot of this stuff is going to be brand new. So there's going to be an opportunity to shape this in the way it looks from the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely. And there'll always be consequences you never thought about, like in the last
year
that, you know, businesses didn't even think about, oh, hey, next year I might be automating something. And of course, in the first year, unintended consequences, you know, you start to see all of a sudden there might be a bias in who created that program.
Yes.
It might be, you know, some illegal who created that program. So you still have to balance it with what you actually know in the law. Law's changing constantly. And so AI may not be keeping up with that because it gets back to where it's drawn from those sources. So that was the first one. I think the second one, the unintended in a couple of years from now, is going to be how deep did we make the cut into our business And if we didn't take it kind of at a methodical pace, you could outgrow what you you're actually setting out to do to achieve, and all of a sudden you've gotten too far with the technology.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm not trying to turn this political or turn this into a, where we're stepping in anything in this conversation. But I think one of the things that we are realizing with technology, and as AI has become, more as they've progressed more with AI, I think we've realized that bias is something that even a machine creates. When it's learning, there becomes a bias, and whether it's an intended or unintended bias. Even a machine learns to bias in decisions. Yes.
Yes, it does, because it's still learning one way, and it's going to continue to learn that path, if you will. So, the programming of it from the very beginning is where is it pulling that information? It didn't pull mm-hmm. everywhere, and it depends on, well, how it continues to build off of what it's already learned, and then it can, get exponentially out of control from there.
Well, and I think, you brought it up off camera with me. I think you even wrote it to me, was essentially like, or these organizations need to stay flexible, and they need to be willing to change with all of this, with all everything that's new that's coming at them. One of the biggest keys, right, is to stay flexible and to stay nimble and allow themselves to pivot when things need to be pivoted away from or towards.
Yeah, that's definitely becoming the norm. If you can't be agile and continually pivot your organization, I mean, this day and age, beyond AI, you have changing interest rates, you have changing energy, you have it's a presidential year. I mean, so. Politics. So your customer base and compete and competition is more about, trying to forecast that and be as agile as you can to continue to serve your customer, because there are so many different variables coming into play now.
No doubt. No doubt. I always like to ask anybody who's an expert in their field, kind of what you see in the short term when it comes to, the HR market or things here in the US and even abroad. Like, what do you see that's very topical that people need to know about here in the short term, call it 3 to 5 years?
Yeah, I think what they need to know is, one, employment law changes daily. You need
yes.
to keep up on that. That's very challenging to do and run your business. Two is this whole concept of remote, hybrid employee workforce. So I've covered companies that you only had like 5 people in the headquarters, but their actual employees are scattered all the way across the US.
Right.
So, being able to manage within that and keep your culture, so that's
it's challenging.
That'll continue to play out over the next couple of years. Then we'll settle down. We'll see, what makes sense depending on what you're selling. And, I think that's when you got to look at your 3-5 year plan of how you're going to compete and change with all those, variables.
And so long term, what do you see? I mean, like, I think that like there's a ton of changes that are happening, kind of real time right now in this marketplace. But like you said, those things are going to settle down. They are going to become, I hate the term, but I'm going to use it. They are going to become that new normal that people right. always like to say now. But long term, I mean, there are, there's real things that are going to need to start to be addressed now, but they're going to be being addressed for the next 5 to 10 years.
Oh, sure. So long term, I think you need to think about how are you going to manage a very remote culture and skills that are constantly changing, that are going to have a big impact with whatever, comes after AI. It'll be coming quickly. And so, long term, I think that's going to be the challenge, is that, how do you manage workforces that are, half of them already have automated processes. Some have, specialty groups that you need to go to. And, I think that's going to be You're going to need the flexibility. You're going to need ability to dig in, I think, to specialists who have nothing but that in their background. To kind of be a generalist, a lot of those processes will probably be replaced.
No doubt. No doubt. Well, Stephen, I think you're an incredible resource for small, or for, I guess, middle market businesses. I think that you have a breadth of knowledge and you have had to pivot throughout your career, and you are on the cutting edge of knowing what's coming around the corner. If people want to learn more, or if business owners hear this and they feel like you would possibly be a good fit to work with their organization, what is the best way for them to get a hold of you?
Yeah, I think, so I've started a website. It's GFHRS, so it stands for Grow Fast Human Resource Solutions.com. So it's very basic. I'd, you know, take a look out there, and I put a lot of information out there of what we do, a little bit of our background, and the way you can contact us is right there.
Well, I really appreciate you being on the show today. I think we just dipped our toe into the, again, everything that you have to offer. I hope that you'll come back, and we'll, you know, different times we'll probably focus on different topics, because I think that there's so many things to cover, and there's so many things that are topical and really important to those business owners out there who, you know, they need the resources that you have, that you have at your fingertips. And again, I thank you very much for sharing it with the audience. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks, Jesse.
It's a lot to wrap your head around, isn't it? I certainly would not want to navigate the turbulent HR waters in 2024 alone. If you would like to learn more and have a conversation with Stephen, I'll make sure that his contact information is below everywhere that you hear this interview, and that way you can get in touch with him and see if he would be a good fit for you and your organization. That's going to do it for us today. I'll catch you guys next time.